Center, ZQWMB. This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Got that going. Since we're getting recorded now, I'll start. Hello, this is the Delaware Valley Council of Citizens with Low Vision meeting for November 2021. My name is Glenda Such, and I'm the president of the group. If you would like to try to contact us, our email address is lowvisionnow@hotmail.com, but no spaces, lowvisionnow@hotmail.com. And if you write to that, we'll be able to respond to you. We have the pleasure today of having a guest speaker from the National Library Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired to speak to us about BARD, which is Braille and Audio Reading, Reading Downloads. I think I've got that right.
Yeah, and you did well.
Good. And our guest speaker is Don Olson. And Don is somebody who has been involved in BARD for years. He's in upper management of BARD, where he oversees the operations of BARD across the country. He's also been involved in shooting for accessibility or troubleshooting for accessibility of BARD for people. He knows the, how should I say, application and program in and out. Whoever has things going on in the background, please put yourself on mute. We thank you for that. Okay, so without ado, I would like to introduce once again, Don Olson from National Library Services for the Blind, BARD Division. Take it away, Don.
Thank you, and thank you to everyone for joining us today. It's a wonderful day here. I'm located just a little south of Washington, D.C. in Alexandria, and the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. So as Glenda said, I'm here to talk about BARD. And I in full disclosure, I am excited about BARD. Yes, I work there, I get it. But as a patron as well, you know, I look back on the history, so to speak, of my, let's say, patronage of the National Library Service. And, you know, I look at what's going on today and I say, thank goodness for it. So let me explain what I'm talking about. Let's back up quite a ways, actually. First of all, National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled began in 1931, way back in 31. And it started out with the production of hard copy Braille and did not have audio, the capability of producing audiobooks until 1935. And that then was, you know, progressed into the 60s and 70s and obviously into the future where, and what I'm talking about there is from a hard disk, if you will, records, right? To reel-to-reel tapes, finally into cassette tapes. And throughout this entire time, vinyl is still living until, you know, I don't know what the actual date was that it kind of went by the byway, if you will. But eventually in 2006 came the digital age as far as the National Library Service is concerned. That was the dawning of BARD itself. And the reason this is exciting, you know, everybody here on this call and listening to the podcast as well, or the recording, will obviously understand this. BARD, from a patron perspective, or at least my perspective, how about that, is it gives us the ability to read what we want when we want it. For anybody who is listening to this right now, we remember back, you know, if you've been in a patron for decades, like myself, We remember back when we would get all of our books through the mail. And obviously we thank goodness for all of those services, no doubt about it. I'm going to stop right here and ask people to mute their devices again, please.
What's the command?
If you're on the phone, it's star 6, probably.
Yeah, I'm on Zoom.
Okay. Then it's Alt A if you're on a Windows PC.
Okay. All right.
Great. All right. I still hear a screen reader, however. Can you try your Alt A again, please? There you go. Thank you. Okay. So, restating what I just said a short time ago, we can now read what we want when we want it. I equate this back to when I was a kid. I'm a big music lover. So I remember going into various stores with a parent or two and pleading with my parents to read the titles of the CDs because, I was excited to get a new CD. Well, and then came, you know, the internet, and all of a sudden I was able to go shopping for my own CDs. In a very strong sense, Bard is the same way. We can now do that shopping on our own, whatever type of thing that we're interested in. So let's talk about 2006 and then beyond, where it was at that time and then what's going on right now. So as I said, in 2006, Bard was born. And at the time, the only way to access Bard was, of course, through a computer. And if you're a screen reader user, you would need to be cognizant or aware of or just have some skills, actually quite a few skills when I think about it, to get through Bard. And so here's what I'm talking about. So we're surfing Bard. We just logged into Bard, okay? No matter if you use a screen reader or not, you have to find your books. You have to then download them. And then you have to do what I would commonly term as file management, which is unzip your books and then get them onto your thumb drive or cartridge. Okay, that's quite a bit of work. And at the time, to be honest with you, and for some years to come, NLS had a certain mind frame to say, you know, we fully are aware that Bard is not going to be for everyone, because in order to consume, quote unquote, consume Bard, you would have to have these skills, right? The things that I just mentioned a short time ago. That was our mindset until, was it roughly 2012 or so, somewhere in there. And at the time, one of the things on the drawing board was Bard Mobile. We now know Bard Mobile is an app that can go on your smart devices, anywhere from iOS devices to Android devices and even Fire tablets from Amazon. So it's a nice range of ways to access Bard, depending on who you are and so on. What your likeness is, if you will. Shortly after that, maybe a year, maybe 2 years after that, we revisited, I guess you might say, the mindset of all the file management and so on. But, you know, quote unquote, Bard's not for everyone. That's really where Bard Express then came into play. If you're not familiar with Bard Express, it's a software free download from Bard that can be loaded onto a Windows PC. And what makes this special or different, if you will, is that it's a much more simplified interface or way to access Bard. So if you recall in the beginning of this, I mentioned that, you know, in order to get on Bard and use Bard, you'd have to really have a good number of different types of skills, whether it be surfing, whether it be going to find the books on your computer. And of course that file management, Bard Express, and of course Bard Mobile actually takes care of all of that in a much simpler way. Going back to Bard Mobile just for a moment, what happens on Bard Mobile? You're able to find your books, you tap on it, it comes down and actually unzips all by itself. Very similar, that kind of action, if you will, happens on Bard Express as well. But the interface is of course different because you're using your computer. So with Bard Express, it can be as simple as using four keys. That's all you really minimally need to use Bard Express. And that would be the tab key, the enter key, and the up and down arrow keys. Minimally speaking, that's all you really, really need to use Bard Express. However, with that said, we learned shortly thereafter that, you know, we'd also like to build in the ability to use shortcut keys so you could do things much faster. So quote unquote power users could really utilize these shortcut keys to do many things in a much more quickly. And we've then also learned that there are also a group of people that will use Bard Express for the searching capabilities, and it'll load, if you will, people will load things onto their wish list, then flip over to their Bard Mobile and just simply access the wish list, and boom, there's the title that you really want, as opposed to having to surf for them for those titles on Bard Mobile, which is not always the easiest. I understand that. Some people are not comfortable with performing their searches on an app. So the marriage of those two things, Bard Express and Bard Mobile, work out very, very well. So that brings us up to date as far as what patrons can currently access. Well, that's not entirely true, actually. Let's go with one more device. For some months now, NLS has been in a pilot project where we are issuing what we call Braille e-readers. In the beginning, and still at this point, there are only a few select libraries participating in this pilot. And that, of course, really comes down to we only have so many Braille displays. And that's what we're talking about. An e-reader is a Braille display. It's a 20-cell Braille display. We have two different companies that we contract with. And the idea is to get these Braille displays out there, these e-readers, and promote Braille, because this is where we came from. Braille was, still is, and always will be the foundation of the National Library Service for the Blind. And now we're able to promote that even more with these e-readers / Braille displays. Okay, so that's where we are again, as far as today is concerned. I'm just checking my time here. Here we go, okay, good. All right, so what's going on now? What's next as far as NLS is concerned? There are a number of different projects in place where we're exploring and developing different and additional technologies, ways for you, the patron, to consume Bard. One of which is a new player. So for maybe 15 years now or so, there have been players out there. I think we produced 400,000 or so of them. And, you know, it's starting to get, or at least draw closer to the end of life cycle for those machines. They're still good, they still play, they still work, but eventually they're going to wear down. We understand that. That's how mechanical things work, right? And so we're moving on and developing what we hope and believe is going to be the next player type. This player, as I'm looking at it right now on my desk, It is actually based on the Stratus from Humanware. So if you've ever seen one of those devices, you'll already have an idea of what kind of a device this is. One of the differences is, okay, well, I suppose I should try and explain this. So it's about, I would say, I never did measure this perfectly. So I'm going to guess about 8 inches deep. It's sitting on my desk. It's probably about, we'll say 2 inches high. And it's maybe 10 inches wide, actually. And it's wide in part because there's a fixed handle on the left side. What makes this different from the current player is that this machine is Wi-Fi enabled. The reason that's, one of the reasons that's important to us is that we want to give the patrons the capability of reaching out to Bard whenever they wish to, right? It's one of the, like the statement I mentioned in the first place. I'd like to read what I want when I want it. So that equates to a what we call a digital delivery system as opposed to the mail delivery system, okay? So if you have Wi-Fi in your house, you will be able to interface this with your Wi-Fi and your books will come directly into your desktop player. That project is very much in its, I'll say alpha stage, which means very much in the beginning stages. This development is early on. We're hoping to do a field test and planning to do a field test in the spring of 22. It'll be a very limited field test, but I think as far as NLS is concerned, we're going to get a lot of really good feedback from all the patrons that are going to get these machines and participate in our field test. It's a field test. Try and explain the difference. We call it a field test as opposed to a pilot test or a pilot project. For example, the e-readers that I mentioned a short time ago, those are in the pilot stage, which means we absolutely plan to move forward with more and more e-readers as time goes on. We're not 100% sure that this player here, the one that's on my desk here, is really going to be the one. So therefore, we're calling it a field test. Moving on to one more device, and that is accessing Bard by voice. What does that mean? That means that development is currently underway to enable your smart speakers, your Mrs. A, as someone refers to her, or your Google speakers. And so I'm going to try a little bit of a demo of my speaker here. So if you have a Mrs. A, I encourage you to turn off the microphone, because I can't get around not using the wake word. So let's give this a try. For now, we're calling it, it's called Real Books, but that is not going to be the final name of the software. So here we go. Alexa, open Real Books.
Welcome, Donald, to Real Books. We are using your email to save your preferences and the history of your recent operations. You can now ask, for instance, read me a book or user guide.
Alexa, find books about Harry Potter.
Select a book about Harry Potter.
I didn't say that.
Initial very well. 5 of 54.
Oh, here we go.
1. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, DB64495. 2. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, DB92235.
I'm going to interrupt her here.
Harry Potter and the
Alexa, read number 2.
Sorry, there are multiple choices for what you asked.
Ah.
Say a number between 1 and 5 or words that clearly identify your selection. Initial 5 of 54. 1. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, DB64495. 2. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, DB92235. 3. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, DB92234. 4. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, DB60262. 5. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Say a number or words from the options or say next to advance. You can also say, jump forward or backwards a number. You can refine by saying things like, by Rowling.
Number 2.
You selected Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Say, yes, or play, or add to wish list, or add to one of your bookshelves. Book description. This sequel to Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, DB92230.
Play.
Reading Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, DB92235. Starting from title and author. Please wait.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows by J.K. Rowling, DB92235. Pottermore originally produced this unabridged recording for the commercial market.
Alexa, pause.
Okay, paused. Anything else I can help with?
List recent books.
Listing recent books. First 5 of 36. 1. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. 2. Project Hail Mary. 3. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. 4. Unfinished Tales of Numenor and Middle-earth. 5. The Silmarillion. Say a number or words from the options or say next to advance. You can also say, jump forward or backwards a number.
Read number 2.
Reading Project Hail Mary. Starting from where you left. Chapter 1. Please wait.
The two brushed steel armatures hang from the ceiling. Each has an assortment of disturbingly penetration-looking tools where hands should be. Can't say I like the look of that. Oh.
Alexa, stop.
Okay, paused. Anything else I can help with?
Cancel.
Bye for now.
Okay, so that's a little demo of the next project that is in development. Very much in the alpha stage. I would even call it skeletal at this point. This one is a big and complex project. And so therefore it's going to take quite some time to develop this. I don't recall offhand exactly when the field test is scheduled, but I guarantee it will be sometime in the not very near future, let's put it that way, okay? So this is exciting to me. The big picture, here's one scenario, and then I'll open this up for questions. So eventually, let's say you're on vacation and you're consuming, if you will, your favorite book. Let's say maybe by your smartphone, you're listening to Bard, you know, the book on Bard Mobile. And eventually you have to come home because that's reality. And oh boy, the vacation has to come to an end. When you get home, you unpack your suitcases, you relax for the evening, and you sit on your couch, and there's your smart speaker. You could then start the skill, if you will, on your smart speaker and tell your book to resume. And the book will resume from where you left off on your smartphone earlier in the day, or maybe, you know, maybe a week prior, something like that. So in order to make all of that happen, you know, there's a lot of, like I say, a lot of development involved. We have to develop what we call a synchronization server. obviously smooth out the smart speaker language itself. You heard a couple of things that went a little haywire in my little demo. But again, we're in the very beginning stages, so we fully expect things that are going to have to be ironed out. That's okay. That's why we work on it. That's why we develop it and shape it into a much more usable product for you and I, the patron. So with that said, I'm going to take a break, take a drink of water here. And Glenda, you are in charge.
Okay.
Keep an eye out for those hands that are raised.
Can people hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. First of all, thank you, Don. That was really fantastic. It's really exciting about the combination of Alexa and that with it. That's going to be pretty cool. Well, actually make me go out and get one. One question I have for you from myself before I open it up for everybody else is if you could just give us a brief, and I know this is not too brief, idea of if you wanted to go to Bard, let's start with Bard Mobile, and to find a book, say, by James Patterson, what would be the steps to do that? So if we could do that.
Are you asking me, Glenda?
I'm asking
okay.
you.
Okay, very good. So here's what I would do. Obviously, run the app. And on the first screen, we call Get Books screen. Tap on something called, what is it called now? Is it Browse Bard or Bard website? Something like that. It's very obvious. Tap on that and the web page for Bard itself comes up. That's at least the way it is today. We have plans to make a change sometime in the future, within the next year probably. But anyway, I'm just speaking as it is today. So as I say, the Bard website is going to come up. You look for the search field, it's an edit field. Go into that edit field or activate that edit field. And I would type, in quotes, I would type Patterson, comma, James, quote. And then finally hit the go or the search button, okay? A couple interesting things are going to happen there. One of the first things you're going to see on the resulting page is actually under a heading that says book series. There's going to be any book series that might, and do obviously, match your search criteria, Patterson, James, maybe even both, but there is no such series called Patterson James or James Patterson. So you're going to find a series that might be a Patterson something something or a James something something. But to follow on to your question, Glenda, if you scroll down a little further, there are various bits of information that give you an idea of how many search results pop up using your search criteria. For example, it will automatically say X number of results in title, X number of results in author, and so on and so forth. If you click on author, obviously that's what you want, right?
Yep.
And so Bard is going to jump all the way down to the author, and right there you're going to be able to see books by Patterson, comma James.
If so I recall, it would also then give you options of whether or not it's an audiobook or a braille book.
Not in this particular search type, but there's different ways to come up with that. Yes.
Okay.
And actually, you bring up a really good point, and that is on the very first thing you would see on that page is a link that says go directly to Braille. Click on that, and you're going to jump over all of the audio books. Even better, however, if you go into Bard and there's a link called Account Settings, you have the ability to tell Bard that you only want to see Braille, or you only want to see audio, or the default is, of course, both. But that's a really a good way to do to narrow down your searches if you're looking for one format and one format only. Maybe you're a Braille person and you don't care about the audio, or vice versa. That's a great way to go about it.
Thank you.
Any questions?
That's going to help a lot. Other questions from the audience?
This is Carla. I understand some titles are only available in one of those formats. So unless you are open to both formats, you won't know all the titles that are available. Some are only available in one format. So if you're not a Braille reader, you're going to miss that title that is not available in audio. Is that
absolutely
not correct?
That is absolutely correct, yes. So you're better off, depending on how you look at things, you might be better off to leave yourself open to both formats, as Carla says. That way if the title is on Bard, you'll definitely see it that way. You don't have to do any guesswork of, gosh, which format is it in?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. I have a sighted volunteer coming over at 4:30. My original question was, how would I get her to set me up with a Bard account? And then I started thinking they're not going to let me set up because they want me to prove, which I am, that I am a library for the blind reader. So does that mean if I wanted to set up an account, I have to go to the library for the blind?
Okay,
and
excellent.
And if I do, are they going to say, go get us a letter from your eye doctor, which I pretty much haven't bothered seeing for 5 or 10 years because I became blind.
Right.
So how do I set up something?
Okay. It sounds like you are currently receiving books through the mail. Is that correct?
I haven't been, but I am able to, yes.
Awesome. So therefore, you don't have to worry about the letter, as you point out, the doctor's letter. What will happen is you could do one of two things. If you already have that first step taken care of, which is you're already receiving services, as we say, other words, books. When you call your library, you could do one of two things. You can call them, or there's a website to fill out an application. So whatever your comfort level is, let's just stick with the calling, for example. You're going to call your library and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I am currently a patron in your library. I would really like a Bard account. Would you help me set that up, please?
Uh-huh.
What they're going to do is simply look up your record and verify that you already have a record that says you're a patron.
Right.
That's all the certification, quote unquote, that is necessary at this point. They can help you fill out whatever is necessary on their end. They will obviously approve it right away because they've already seen that you are a patron. So this would be the easiest way to go about some things. Otherwise, if a person is comfortable with the web, then a person would go to the Bard website, which is https://nlsbard.loc bard.gov. All right. I know that's a long address.
Yeah.
But if anybody needs that, they can send me an email, and I'll give you my address later on. But anyway, my point is that is the login page for Bard. There's a link on that page that says application for individuals. That would be us. We are individuals. We're not
right.
What's called institutions. So we would click on that link. The first page asks you to tell Bard which library you're with. They'll choose your library. And then click next, and then simply fill out the rest of the form, name, mailing address, things like that. And you do have to have a working email address as well.
I have.
Okay. Then there you have it. That's the whole story.
Then they'll give you a password and a username and password, correct?
Exactly. And your username will be your email address.
Will be what?
Your email address.
Right.
Yep. They will give you a password.
Okay.
And help you set that up if you ask.
Okay. And can that password be changed?
Absolutely. In fact, it must be. Will actually give you what we call a temporary password. And then the first time you log in, Bard will require you to change a password.
Oh, okay.
As I said, if anybody has any questions along the way, they can always send me an email. Here's my email address. Remember, my name is Don Olson, right? So that should make it easy for you. The yeah. email address is D, as in Don, and then my last name, olson@loc.gov.
LOC is Library of Congress.
Right on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. I'm glad that was covered. That was one of the things I was hoping people would learn today, is how to be able to get Bard, get onto their services. One, mm-hmm. if they didn't have an account already, and the others, if they already had an account with Library Services. If they don't have an account, I imagine that it will have you contact your local Library Services, and then they would take some sort of a registration from you and ask for some sort of form to a letter to prove that you are visually impaired?
Your library is your best friend here. They are going to help you do whatever you need to do, however you want to receive your services.
But it's not just a general library. It's a library for the blind.
That's correct.
I have both offices, the numbers to share with people for Pittsburgh and for Philadelphia, which are the two in Pennsylvania, but I don't have the other ones. Is there a list of those phone numbers somewhere?
I would be glad to provide a list if you'd like. And even if you give me a few moments, I can look that up here if you'd like.
Yeah, you can send that to me and I can share that with the people.
Oh yeah, let's do that. Let's not waste anyone's time here. You specifically want Delaware, or do you want other?
Delaware. We're Delaware Valley, so it's actually
Philadelphia.
But we have people that are on from Virginia, people that are on from Florida, and
because this
went out nationally, we have people from across the country who are coming in on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. We'll take care of that after we hang up here.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Please. This is Sarita. Don, excellent presentation. Thank you for devoting your time to us this afternoon. And if you've said this, please forgive me for asking the question. How current are books converted to an accessible format? I mean, if a new book comes out, can I expect to get that book right away? And two, I have an account. Once I start using an iPhone, I stop wanting to have my Victor Stream with me or a computer. I just wanted to use my iPhone. But now I'm kind of thinking, I'd like to be able to, depending on the answer to the first question, use my Victor Stream. And did you, in your comments, cover the Victor Stream as a device that we can also use?
I did not, but you can definitely use your Victor stream.
Okay.
I don't get into the weeds as far as what we call third-party players, because that's not what we directly support. You know, that's what the manufacturer is used for. Or that's their bailiwick, you know, quite honestly.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. I just brought that up because I know many people do have a Victor stream, and mm-hmm. I just wanted them to be mindful of that. But I'll mute and ask for the answer to the first question. Thank you again. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as far as the immediacy of books, I would definitely not use the word expect, okay, for a number of reasons. First of all, on the most expedient side of this coin, and that is, if let's say there is a book that has been tremendously publicized, this is going to be a hot topic. And there have certainly been a few of those in the past, three, 4 years that have come up. A James Comey book. I know there was an Obama book, and I just can't think of others at the moment. But my point is, these really books that are obviously going to be very much in the public eye, we do our darndest to get them out as soon as possible. And when I say that, I'm talking within days of publication. However, with that said, that is definitely not the norm. And there's good reasons for it. You know, basically think of it as a queue. We have and work with a number of different providers / producers around the country. They all have a mapped out workflow. And so on those brief occasions when we inject one of these, we call them rush books, into their workflow, that really messes some things up for these producers, because, you know, that everybody has a roadmap of what needs to be done when. But those rush books really kind of mess some things up. So that is not the norm by design. With that said, we do get, I don't know the exact number. I'm going to say it used to be 20, and then now it's more. It may be 20 to 40 books that are already produced. They might come from Audible, they might come from Penguin, or a couple of the other major publishers out there. That helps a great deal as far as expediency is concerned, because the producers we work with or that we contract with don't actually have to sit down and read the book. All we have to do is take the already recorded book and provide, basically convert it into the format that NLS uses. So those books do tend to come up much more quickly after publication. There's a big mix of books and book types and sources that these books come from. Much, much more there's a much more variety than there was, say, even 5 years ago. One we very much like to put out there, because they deserve a ton of credit, is the libraries, some of the libraries that we work with, you know, in our network. North Carolina, for example, I believe New York, Texas, and the list goes on, where those particular libraries also have recording studios. So a number of the books that these libraries produce themselves, they submit those books to BARD as well. So again, there's a number of different sources that all of these books come from. It's not just, quote unquote, just our producers that we contract with anymore. Which is wonderful. And here's how it translates. So historically, for years and years and years, NLS would make available approximately 2,000 books per year. You could count on it. Not going to be 1,000, probably not going to be 1,500. It really, for the most part, is not going to be 4,000. It was going to be 2,000. And that went on forever. But with all of this proliferation, if you will, of pre-recorded, if you will, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but yeah, let's use that word, pre-recorded books, you know, books that are already out there from publishers and the libraries that produce the books and so on and so forth. We are now up to, I believe, I want to say last year, roughly 8,000 audiobooks became available on Bard. So it's amazing and wonderfully tremendous. It's fantastic to have so many more books than we used to. Any other questions, please?
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is, go ahead. Okay.
This is Kathy. I was wondering, when you look on the app store, it says it lists Bard as family sharing. Why would that be? I'm curious because I have a grown daughter who's extremely dyslexic, and we read a lot of the same books. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why the app would be family sharing.
I don't honestly don't have a question. Don't have an answer for that question.
I'm not the only one
side of that. But you bring up a really interesting point, and that is that just recently, within the last year, I want to say, National Library Service has opened up the eligibility. You know, people who can be and are qualified to receive books from National Library Service, and that also includes people with this dyslexia. So is it your niece, you said, your granddaughter?
My daughter.
Your daughter, I'm sorry. Yeah. So she could actually get her own Bard account.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Tom from Vermont. Couple things. Number one, you might want to add, I don't know if it's an 800 or an 844 number that you have for the Library of Congress, NLS. If you call that and then you say the numbers and you just say the state you're from, and then it'll automatically transfer you to your local regional library.
Correct. I can't think what that number is. It's an
888 number. Yeah, it's an 888 something, but it's toll free. And it might be on the CCLVI's website, where I'm on the PR committee. So we're trying to get those things on, get our website back up and running well on the resource page. And we'll definitely add that number to that. That's that. The other thing is the only problem I've had is when I wanted to update my password, you have to do it from your computer. You can't do it from the Bard app on either your iPhone, or I assume the Android as well. And the instructions now say that, but originally the drugs instructions didn't say that. And I didn't know if they were going to update that. And the last question is going to be, how do you deal with a copyright issue? I mean, LOC is the copyright people with Echo, the Alexa, and the smart speaker apps, because it's all has to be extremely well protected.
Okay, first of all, when I send Glenda information, I will include the 888 number so she can distribute that. Number two, oh my gosh, now I already forgot there were two more. Oh, the password issue.
Yeah.
You are correct. Right now you have to log into Bard in order to update your password. The apps won't handle it at the moment, but I'm telling you, it's a huge bane in my side.
Okay.
And so that will be changed someday. It's just taking a lot of technical work to make something like that happen. But it's a high priority, and we need to make that happen. Eventually it will.
Okay.
And then finally, the copyright issue. So years ago, something called the Chafee Amendment was passed, which enables the National Library Service for the Blind to record any book we would like. And what an incredible honor and privilege to do that. Pardon the siren. I live across the street from a fire station, so he'll go away shortly. So that's the answer to that question. And the responsibility behind that, let me approach it a different way. What is required from us, from NLS, in order to protect the copyright is, once again, I apologize. So hopefully you can still hear me.
Yes.
Okay. Distract me there. We need to, and do absolutely religiously, make sure that all the books we record are in a specialized format. So in two ways here we approach that. As far as the recordings themselves are concerned, you download them from the web, they come into you on a cartridge or whatever. Only specific types of players can play them, am I correct? Sure. Correct. Whether it be the player that we lend out, whether it be your players that you purchased from a vendor. You have to have a specialized format. So something similar will happen, of course, when this is happening on the smart speakers, and that is that only people who are patrons of the National Library Service will have access to Bard. Nobody okay. else will. So, anybody who might be listening to this recording down the line probably heard me in the beginning say, open real books. That is not going to be the name of the service. And if you try to do that now, you're not going to be able to get in anyway. So you as a name and password, you will have to be a Bard patron. And so that's the only way you're going to get into this service.
Thank you. Because I'm a stickler. I always remind everybody, because I'm the chair of the advisory committee here for our ABLE library, is that you may not, under any circumstances, share this book. Oh, I'm going away. The family can listen to this. No, it's for you only. And I'm a stickler on that because you didn't pay for it. You got a free service, and it's wonderful. But you, if they want to read the book, correct. Like my wife, she goes out, we share a book, she goes out and buys it. She listens to it or reads it.
That's right, as does mine. And you are absolutely correct. When you become a patron at any level, if you will, of the library, you will be agreeing to a certain pledge. And inside of that pledge, there is specific language that says exactly what you are addressing, and that is you cannot share the books, you cannot share your username and password, and if you do, you're in trouble. That's what it comes down to.
This is Carla. May I add a comment? Again, I understand that people are allowed to make one personal use copy of a book for themselves only, if it's one of their favorites or whatever. But again, everything you have just said applies. It's for you alone in the specialized format. Mm-hmm. I came across a podcast discussing the fact that somebody had not known that there was a Library of Congress Audible copy of the Silmarillion, you know, but that was probably because they were not part of this community. So that's an obvious part of why we are using this particular service and not the general services available at standard libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
Good afternoon. This is Zelda Gebhardt calling from North Dakota, and I just Googled, I think I found the 800 number that you guys were looking for. It is 888-657-7323.
That is correct.
Okay. I'm glad you confirmed that. Thank you, Don.
Zelda, could you give it one more time?
Okay. That's 888-657-7323.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And please promote our CCLV website at the same time, Zelda.
Well, as Tom mentioned earlier, we have a CCLVI website, and it's brand new and it's sparkling, and we are building our resource page, but our website is cclvi.info, I-N-F-O.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And since we're plugging websites, the Delaware Valley Council of Citizens Below Vision has a page on my site. We don't have our own domain yet, but we do have a page within my site. Mm-hmm. And if you go onto my website, which is suchasite.com, and that's suchasite.com, kind of think you're from like New York, such a site. And then go down the page till you see the link for Delaware Valley Council of Citizens of Low Vision and click on that and it'll take you right to our page, which has an explanation of how the group started, its history, where it is now. I give three sample audio described movies on there for people to listen to, and I'll update them periodically. And I have the joining information for each month's Zoom meetings on there too. So if you don't have it, you can't find anything, just go to the website to the bottom and it gives you how to join the meeting, because it's a reoccurring meeting. So, and these are held the first Saturday of every month.
Thank you. And I was just on it and that's how I got to this meeting. So
there you go.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Barbara speaking. And hi, Don. I'm on the other end of the 401 line. And actually it's a comment. I would like to state that there's really not that many books from Bard on personal finance. And I would like to say that that's very important to our community as it is for the general population. And if I could now make a request that that number be increased, because a lot of these books that I'm referring to are actually on Audible. And so maybe they could kind of appear on Bard as well.
A good suggestion. What I would also suggest is
losing your Wi-Fi, Don.
Your speech is going in and out.
All right,
Don?
I hear you.
Can your speech is going in and out. Could you move the location of your phone?
Just a moment. Here we go. All right. How are we doing?
Doing well.
Very good. There are a number of magazines available on Bard that are associated with this topic, such as Kiplinger's retirement report, things like that, or a financial report. AARP is up there. They have some really good information. I know there are a few others in this topic as well, but that's all that comes to mind at the moment.
Right. Yeah, I'm aware of those, and I do appreciate those. I do read Kiplinger, and well, money used to be on there as well, but they're
right
no longer, unfortunately. And so there's very, very few resources out there besides mm-hmm. books. I mean, there's of course blogs and the channels on YouTube and such, mm-hmm. but I'm concerned because, you know, people, just because they're visually impaired doesn't mean that they don't have personal finance issues. As a matter of fact, we probably have them more than other folks because Absolutely. We have the need for assistive technology.
No question about it. I will definitely make sure that our collection development folks hear your concerns.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Don. My name is John. I have a question. You answered it regarding the commercial publications and you reformat it to make sure all the beeps are in for each chapter and stuff. You might have asked this. I had to drop off to take a phone call, but how many volunteers do you have reading books and who makes the decision of which books you do, so to speak, publish?
Okay. First of all, there are very few actual volunteers that record these books anymore. At least as far as NLS is concerned, we contract with all of with a number of different producers, and all of those producers employ people to record these books. Now, one thing I did mention earlier is the fact that a number of libraries that make up the network of libraries that we work with, they have recording studios. I can't attest to whether or not they have volunteers that read their books. I don't know how they do that. So I can't.
It used to be college students would
could be.
Volunteer their time, but a lot of people's in other Zoom groups I'm in, they have favorite narrators and the narrator will make a book, in my opinion. Yeah. If it's a good narrator, it'll really make that book interesting. Yeah. But I just wanted to also thank, if you did have volunteers, so maybe it's all contracted out now, different libraries, and that's wonderful too. And the commercial books that you reformat. I just want to say thanks to those volunteers, but if you know, they don't have any volunteers anymore.
You know. Well, as I say, I'm quite sure a number of the libraries that record books, they do work with volunteers to have their books read. Right. I would be comfortable in thinking that yes, I think they do.
And then the second part of that question was who makes the decision? I'm sure you don't put every book on there, and you know, but there has to be a decision. Do you listen to the books or do you?
Okay, so there are approximately 150,000 approximately 100, gosh, or can I spit it out here? Let's put it this way. There's more than 15, I still can't 100? Say it.
100?
Yes, I'm sorry. More than 1,500. 100,000. I still can't do it. I'm sorry, I have a brain block going on. Let's forget the numbers. I apologize for all that. Point is, there are an incredible number of books that are produced every day and throughout the year for that matter. And we have to be selective in just which books we add to our collection, because of course there are budgets and in concern, right? So therefore we have a dedicated collection development group of folks that are employed at the National Library Service. From periodicals to, let's say, bestseller lists, ratings lists, and so on and so forth. And in addition, we have a readers advisory group that gives NLS feedback on what types of books they believe people are interested in. And so through all of those different resources, that is what, that's how the collection development folks decide, make their decisions. So, I'm certainly not involved with that part of the library. So generally speaking, that is my explanation of how they come up with the list of books that are added to the collection.
Thank you, Don. And thank you for your time again.
Anyone else?
Don, this is Zelda from North Dakota again. I just want to say that as for the volunteers, like John was asking for, we do have a small recording studio in our North Dakota State Library, and they handled the Talking Book program here for us in North Dakota. They give preference to North Dakota authors and give them an opportunity. The volunteers read those books and make those available to us to read, and probably are shared with the rest of, you know, the rest of the Bard readers if they meet the cut, you know, if they're professional enough and are deemed to be worthy enough to put on the list.
And then
I'm sorry, let me keep
quiet. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and to add what Zelda's saying, in Vermont, we have a little recording studio, and we're trying to do it so people can record it at home professionally. But your local library, like it probably has been in North Dakota, is certified by NLS that they're following the correct format, the procedures. So they all have to be quality recordings, not just somebody's home recording, because Bard has a very high standard.
Exactly. And one other thing that the collection development folks do is share the lists of, let's call it the master list of books that they are planning to add to the collection. They share that list with all of these libraries who do the recordings. So therefore, there's no duplication of any titles.
The other thing I found interesting, I had seen one of the recording studios at Lighthouse International, at least they used to be there, where they had the person who was reading, but they also had across from them a person who was reading along with them to make sure that they didn't make any errors as they were reading.
That's exactly right. That's how it works. If you were to come into our studio, which is in the, in essence, the basement of our building, that's exactly the setup that you're going to see. There's two people involved with the actual reading of the book, obviously the narrator, but then what we call the monitor, who basically makes sure that they keep the narrator accountable, I guess you might say.
If I could mention something, this is John again. I heard somebody say that they were copying or recording other books. There's a list of previous downloads that's available under the Get Books. You could go by, you'll see your wish list, and then there's previous downloads where you can go back and read annotations and see who that author was. And that, I know that stays on my smartphone, the previous download, so no need to record it elsewhere. It keeps a list of your books. It's not like you have a library where you can see all your books up on the shelf. This is your previous downloads that you can go back and revisit that's already saved for you on Bard's website or app.
And that brings up another good point, and that is that these books are always available up on the cloud or up on a server somewhere. So, you know, they're always out there. They're always available. You don't necessarily have to keep them on your phone or on your computer. Certainly, if you'd like, that's your choice. But I'm saying they're always up there. And so manage your resources as you need.
Is there a link on the Bard website for downloading the Bard Express?
There is on the... main, let's see, on the login page itself and on the page after you log in. So that would become your main page. There are links to for that. There's literally a link called Bard Express. You click on that link, and then there's another link that's called Download Bard Express. And that, of course, is what you want.
I mention that because there are people who could be on this call right now who do not have a smartphone, don't have any intentions of getting a smartphone. Yep. And this way they can listen to books, you know, through the audio part if they like, by just doing that, downloading the app and using Bard Express.
In addition, we're currently working on a new version of Bard Express that will have the ability to play books right on the computer itself. So it comes around full circle to the folks that you're talking about, the people that don't have, maybe they don't have a smartphone or a smart device of some sort. This gives the person to the ability to listen to the book right on their computer.
Mm-hmm. So right now, if they download it from, if they access it through Bard Express, they have to use their screen reader.
Correct, but I'm talking about the actual audio of the book.
Right. Mm-hmm. The audio of the book will play now?
Not now, but okay. It's under development.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just so people know. Now, if somebody's using large print on their computer and they bring up the book, of course it will be in large print then.
I can clarify the Bard Express, and they have excellent instructions on the website. But when you download, you'll download with the book, and then you have to transfer it to a cartridge. Am I correct, Don?
Exactly,
and then
right,
play the
right.
And then play the cartridge on your machine. Other words, right now you can't play it on the computer, whether it's a PC. You can do the same thing with a Macintosh, though mm-hmm. there's not a dedicated app. But then you have to transfer that to your own cartridge and then play it on a machine.
All right, but that's going to change in the near future.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
According to Don.
Okay, yep. Good. Good. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
Yes, I do. This is Barbara. I would like to say how much I love the app for Bard for the Android devices. Being that this is a low vision group, I will also add that there are just many reasons that people would not have an iPhone. And I think the assumption is that all people who would use the Bard services know Braille or prefer the audio. And I know many people who have low vision who actually have Android phones. And so it would be really great that when you're rolling out something for the iPhone platform, that you hold off on that until you have the equivalent in Android.
There are some major updates coming down the pike. The original, I know the original date was supposed to be even before the end of this calendar year. I'm pretty sure that's not happening before the calendar year. There's just a great deal of updates that are coming, including one thing that we hear about quite often is that, you know, the technology behind the Bard search itself is quite antiquated, to be honest with you. And we will certainly very much upfront tell people this. There's no getting around it. You know, Bard was built in 06, right? 15 years ago. And so that's the technology that's still being used. That is going to be upgraded in the next number of months. And it's going to come over to the Bard mobile side as well. This search technology is going to be not only faster, but much more flexible as well. So it will give you much more of what you want much more quickly.
But as you said, for the Android platform as well?
That's correct.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
But as you said, there's a good way around it, is that if you search for the book on the Bard site, and then you put it in your wish list, it will then appear on your Bard mobile.
Sure, you could work it that way. We have a lot of people that do exactly that.
All right, anybody else have any questions or comments?
I do, this is Carla again. What about some of more esoteric titles that are probably more niche-based? Would you have to go to, Learning Ally instead, because they do everything from K to postgraduate to business titles? I'll throw you one that's really esoteric, and I can't remember the name. I even sent to Oxford, England for a print copy, which has since been stolen, unfortunately. A gentleman's publication of Introduction to Elvish under Tolkien. So that would be really a niche type title, and you'd have to get specialist, especially also for foreign languages. I'm sure you have to have, you know, language specialists to make sure. There have been some excellent narrators who are fluent in more than one language. I remember coming across a gentleman who, in his text, had to refer to about 5 different languages, and his pronunciation was spot on for every one of them.
So you point out a really nice difference between services that are available to all of us. Learning Ally, for example, specializes and does a great, great job with more academic, more business specific types of resources. That's who they are. That's what they specialize, and they do a good job. NLS, on the other hand, is more of a public library type of a resource. You know, your fictions, your nonfictions, your self-helps, your cookbooks, things like that. Yep, that's your differentiation.
I believe, wasn't the formal name of that Recordings for the Blind?
What, Learning Ally?
Yeah.
I don't recall, it's been so long. That sounds right. I
believe so, Glenda. I had it way back with the Real to Read, and it was Recordings for the Blind.
It was Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, and then it became Learning Allies. Okay.
That's right, RFBND. Okay, yeah. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Just so people have a place of like, who is that?
Yeah.
All right, if nobody has any other questions, I'd like to thank John enormously for the job that you've done. You've given it quite a thorough explanation and hope for the future and everything else. I think that people who are listening are going to have a better understanding of how it began, where it was, where it is, and where it will be. I think that people are going to be able to use it more effectively, or at all, if they haven't done it already. So thank you.
What? Thank you. Glenda?
Yes?
Jerry, every time the demo said Alexa, my Alexa went crazy.
I would imagine, yes.
Yeah. All right. So,
well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate all your time. And I'll see you all on Bard. Thank you.
Okay, thank you
very much.
I'm going to close the recording and I see.
Altsy, Zoom, are you sure you want to stop recording to the cloud? If yes, you will receive an email notification. Close button. Are you sure you want to stop recording Alt+C button? Altsy, Zoom, are you sure you want to stop recording to the leading menus, Zoom meeting, more options for participants?
Okay, people, so on.
Thank you, Glenda, for amazing this.
All right, take care, and we'll meet next month.
Thank you.
Glenda, okay. Hang up. This is Sarah.
Yes.
Do you know anybody that can come out to the house and give Jerry some instruction on the computer with a voiceover?
Do I know somebody?
Yeah.
I'll have to get back to you. We'll talk privately.
Okay. that was wonderful. Thank you, dear.
Refresh button. Zoom meeting. Zoom. Are you sure you want to stop?
Linda, this is Carla calling.
Yes. Yes.
They win. Oh, I was going to say, I tried getting on by quarter to one, and using this morning's email, I could not get on to save my life until I went into yesterday's email, and I got on immediately.
Wow. Don't know. Yeah, don't know. So. I've got it on the website from now on.
So yesterday's number, I got in immediately. I just clicked on the number and I got connected and went through the, I gave it the passcode and I was right on. So go figure.
Okay.
You never know.
Okay. Thanks, Carla.
Hey, Carla. Okay. Hey, Carla. Yeah. I haven't talked to you in a while. We need to catch up. Glenda, you give me 5 minutes on the phone? Would you call me after this? Just 5 minutes?
Sure.
Sure. Bye, guys. Not a problem. You have a cold, don't you? Okay, I will call you.
I'm fine. But Carla, we got to get together, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
The meeting.
Bye-bye.
Stop recording all plus C button. Reactions but X button. Alt F4. End meeting, leave meeting. Cancel but end.